Hey fellow ServiceNow devotees, get ready to embark on a journey through the fascinating realm of ServiceNow with none other than the service docs themselves. I'm James Downs.
And I'm Russ Shear. Whether you're new to ServiceNow, pre-Aspen veteran, or just a curious soul, we're here to bring you ServiceNow curiosities, exhilarating interviews, and don't forget the infamous A to Z game.
But mostly, it's about the random ramblings of two middle-aged guys with a funny story to tell, right?
Yeah, true. The ducks are ready, the mics are on, and we can't wait to have you join us. Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome back to the Service Ducks podcast. We're here today with Russ and James as usual, and a bit unusual today. Actually, we don't have anything particular planned for our podcast. We thought we'd just have a catch up and a blether.
Ah, that's what you think.
Oh, I see. You got all these kind of
that's what you
things
think.
Playing.
I've got to say, your audio is sounding quite echoey. Oh. Is it because you're in a bigger room, maybe?
Same room.
Yeah, it's not sounding
still quite
as
empty this room, actually. So I still usually need more stuff in it.
Usually you sound quite sexy, but it is. I'm not saying you aren't now, but it's just echoey.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
How are we doing?
Yeah. All right, well, this is hot off the press, all right? Let's just get the whole running and marathon training thing out of the way, because we're going to talk about it, right? And everyone's going to think, oh, God, yeah, they're going to talk about that again. Yes, we are.
That's what you're
right,
here for.
Right, so let me give you a bit of an update in that. So
yes, please.
That's what we're here for. So last Sunday, I did my longest ever run, right? 31K. That's about 19 miles.
Mm.
For me, that's a massive distance. So I managed to get through that all right. This week, I've kind of been doing like easy runs back to back. So they're still easy, but they're back to back. So it kind of replicates the fact you're going to be tired. I've been so tired, James. Mm-hmm. This week, I've been absolutely shattered in an evening. I just wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So I think I've got to do something about my nutrition. I've got to do something about what I'm eating and sleeping, I think. But hot off the press. I went downstairs to grab a drink just before we recorded.
Yeah.
My knee started hurting. So I could run 19, 20 miles, but going up and down the stairs, when you're at the age of 40, that's just...
So
this weekend, I've got the longest. It's kind of peaks. So I've got 34K, which is 21 miles, I think, on Sunday. So I'm a little bit, not nervous, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Because the niggles are coming in and it's the last time, it's the wrong kind of time to get niggles.
it's the wrong time to get a knee fatigue. Pain as you're walking up the stairs, let's face it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to attempt to try out what I'm eating the night before. So I'm going to go to ZZ's. You like this? So anyway, so the marathon's in Newport. I've figured out which hotel I'm going to go for. I haven't booked it yet because I'm useless.
Yeah.
But I've decided on my meal of choice the night before is going to be pizza, carbs.
Pizza.
And it's a bit nice. Yeah, it's a bit nice on the pasta and brown rice, whatever.
Pizza. Yeah.
And the only place that I'm used to eating there I could find was ZZ's.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
This Saturday I have to go out for ZZ's to practice it.
Yep.
And in the morning I've got this is the question, James, right? So I've got to my routine in a morning before I do a log run of having peanut butter on toast. Now, the hotel I'm booking, I can include breakfast for 15 quid. Do I spend 15 quid and ask the chef, can you just do me peanut butter on toast?
They'll say, no, that's not on the menu. We'll just give you toast. And you can put
I don't want to spend 15 quid on two slices of toast.
I mean,
so I think I'm going to have to try a different breakfast this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try something like a bagel, non-toasted bagel.
Have you tried it on like porridge or something like that, where it's like slow releasing, or is it a bit more churny in the stomach, if you know what I mean?
This is the debate.
Yeah.
So I've done a load of races, and I used to have porridge the night before.
And the night before?
Not the night before, in the morning.
Yeah.
And some runs would go all right, some races would go all right, some would go catastrophic. So,
yeah. We all know, you don't know.
As they all do. So I've kind of changed it recently. The last few two races I've done, I've had peanut butter and toast, and they've both gone really well.
Mm.
So now I'm kind of at that level where I go, well, I have to stick to that.
Do you just bring your own little jar of peanut butter with you?
Yeah, but I've still got to do toast.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, I know, and then you're paying 15 quid for toast.
Exactly, right? I could do, there is a hack, I did research this, there is a hack that you can do toast on an iron. Now, I don't...
You see how that's going to go.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm brave enough to try it. If you have tried it, drop me a note on LinkedIn, I'd love to know, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I don't
think you haven't booked a hotel yet, you said, didn't you? So is there not an opportunity to book a hotel where breakfast is included?
Well, it's marathon day, right? So all the hotels are gone, or they're like 500 quid. Because I did think I could get an Airbnb, right? Or apartment thing. So I've got the run, no pun. but I've got the whole thing to myself. I'm going to do what I like. But they're so expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for this hotel. Not going to do the toast on an iron. And I'm going to try bagels not toasted. And then I've got two more long runs before the marathon. So I'm going to try porridge as well. Like oats. Because you can get the kind of pour the kettle ones in, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll give them
a shot.
Take
milk out of the equation.
Exactly.
Just do water on. Yeah.
So perhaps give them a shot. Because it doesn't have to taste nice, does it? It just has to
keep going. No, it's just the energy. And
top tip. If you're in the UK, my other go-to just before you start are Percy Pigs.
Ooh.
Have a couple of Percy Pigs.
Love a Percy Pig.
Love a Percy Pig.
Now, for those viewers and listeners outside of those who go to M&S.
Yeah. But they're my go-to at the minute.
Nice sweets.
But it's going well. It's going well.
Mm.
It is going well.
I mean, it's obviously, it's not been that long since you started doing the longer running, really. I mean, over the last year or so, would you say? Obviously, you've done the two half marathons. Obviously, you've done a lot more than that now with your long runs that you've been doing. But really, it's only been in the last year or two, I'd say, that you've really picked up the distance and wanting to do the distance, which is good.
Yeah, I'd say since I've always been doing like on a Sunday, 14K, maybe that was like a norm. So like 16 and 18K now are not normal, but it doesn't daunt me at all in the slightest anymore.
Yeah.
You know, let's not forget, a few years back, if you'd have said, go and run 10K, there's just no way. There's no way. I remember talking to a guy when you and I were on a project together for a long-term project. And there was a guy at that customer that was having yourself a drink, are you?
That's it.
That is really loud. What have you done with your audio today? Is it on like, have you got like, what is it?
Is it like gaming or is it just?
No, hang on. It's got like a cardioid or something else where it kind of only takes your input from here or all around. You might have that turned on.
We'll have to put it through Adobe.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All the same. So yeah, no. So that the guy I remember talking to him, he was a senior manager, and he was doing the London Marathon for charity. And I remember saying, "How do you do that? There's no way I could ever run a marathon." It's inconceivable.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I can now, but I'm saying when I've got to a position where like 16 and 18K doesn't daunt me.
Yeah.
Whereas a few years ago, there's just no way on this planet.
Yeah, I must admit, after I did my first half marathon, at that point, still, I was like, I could not imagine me doing that twice. I guess because you set yourself up for that distance and you're training for that distance. So,
well, you chunk it up. It's like with anything, right?
Yeah.
It's like with, let's try and relate this to ServiceNow. but it's like if you've got a ServiceNow career path. Right.
Yep.
And you come in straight away as next gen, or you come into the industry and you haven't taken your admin course yet. And you go, I want to be a CMA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a big step. So you chunk it down. Right. So you say, well, let's get some experience out of my belt. Let's get my admin out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's do ITSM implementation, perhaps. Then the next one. Then, so all these little wins will equate to your big goal. So I chunk it up. So I know I can do half marathon.
Yeah.
After that, it's like, what, two 5Ks races and a 10. I don't know, my maths off. But yeah, my maths off. But I just chunk it up and go, it's like this 34 I'm going to do this weekend. It's still another 8K on top of that. But I know I can do 8K. I've done that before easily.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So in my head when I'm doing it, I'll go, well, it's only 8K. Don't get me wrong. I will be in a world of pain.
Wishing,
well, saying to myself, why the hell did I ever do this?
But you sadistically quite like that too.
I do. I do like that.
It's reaching that point. Yeah.
I do like that.
Well, that's interesting then. So you, I think it's all to do with like muscle memory and things like that and just being so focused on the target. And I think that's been my downfall over the last few months since my last half marathon is just not having a target to try and reach or some kind of date to train towards.
Yeah.
And I guess same thing ServiceNow wise, if you don't have certification or a particular role or something that you're not kind of trying to reach for, it's hard
That's it. You've got to set yourselves targets and goals. And that's why it's like when you do, I don't know, you probably do them. I don't so much anymore, but like appraisals, right? What are they called? I want to say PDRs.
Yeah,
PDRs.
Yeah,
when you like personal development reviews and goal setting, most people roll their eyes and go, oh, God, what? But you have to look at it, and this is very management speak, right? So I'm going to step into that role for a sec. So most people roll their eyes, go, oh, what's the point? I can't be bothered. I'm just here for the cash. I'm not interested. And you know, you get into this routine of looking up to your manager, go, well, you set me the goals. But it's not his career path, not his or her career path, right? It's not their goals to achieve.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to take ownership of your own goals and targets and whatever. Yeah. So James, the message 100%. Is get something done. Stop being a slacker.
Yeah. Be in charge of your destiny.
Be in charge of your own destiny, which I'm sure we spoke about before.
Initiative. Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, what's new on your front? Come on, you've got stuff listed. I can see you looking at another screen. Come on, you're prepared.
No, do you know what? I don't. It's just been just been really busy. I know we probably mentioned that in the last podcast. It's been so busy with stuff. It's not been any particular one thing. I've been involved a lot more at the moment with obviously Gen AI, since obviously finally getting access to a Gen AI instance. It's obviously been fun just to play with it and see what its boundaries are, what you can achieve with it, what you can't achieve with it, where's the value, how can we play that back to our customers. So you know, professionally, it's just been just so busy with the apps that I'm developing for my current customer, along with looking at new stuff. And that's the stuff that excites me, right? It's all the new features and being able to look at what's coming up in Washington. I quite enjoyed, actually, recently there was a, what was it called? Is it Live Coding Happy Hour or something like that? You know, with like Chuck and...
Live Coding, Happy Hour.
Yeah, that's it. They had one of those and they were doing just random stuff on Gen AI. And I love that. You know, it's actually quite entertaining to watch. It's good to see it go wrong. You know, these are the guys that you kind of watch and you're supposed to see, you know, everything should work perfectly and whatever else. And they're trying things out. And obviously Gen AI is new. So it was good to see things when it doesn't go quite so well, as we mentioned in our intro.
I like that. That's something I always try and say to my kids, to be honest, is failure is just a part of learning. Things are supposed to go wrong.
Yeah.
Right. It helps you learn, helps you grow as a person, as a techie or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, failing's all right. Failing's absolutely all right.
Yeah.
But not when you're doing a marathon. There is no room for failing.
No room. If you bomb out halfway through, then it's just put down as a failure. Pub, have a burger. You know.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. So what have you been doing with talk to me about it. We've got to talk about it, Gen AI, haven't we? What have you been doing with it then? What have you been mucking about? Have you
Yeah. So I've been mucking about. So there's a so there's a hackathon going on right now. So there's a Gen AI hackathon. So I've been really looking at the different use cases. So the things that I've been looking at right now are all things in the kind of AI search / virtual agent kind of experience.
Yeah.
So obviously we know that AI and the latest functionality around it is you can do, you know, searching for natural language on knowledge base. It's going to go through all of them and summarize some kind of answer for you, which is pretty cool. But then there's also fairly recently you've got the multi-turn catalog stuff. So you can talk to virtual agent and say, hey, I want to order a laptop sort of thing. And it's going to find the appropriate catalog item for you to order. And based on information that you kind of give it, it can then automatically populate the likes of the variables from the form, which is fantastic. So it's not even going to ask you some questions.
Yes, we saw that, didn't we? Was that was Toby did that?
Toby did that at the London meetup. I thought, oh, that's really powerful. That's actually quite cool. And then you start thinking of, you know, is that the kind of experiences that we're going to look towards in the future? More kind of conversation led, I guess.
Yeah.
As opposed to here's a big catalog. You go try find it. What you need to order.
This has been a bugbear. All right, no. I've had this healthy debate with people for years. But you know when you got like Portal and you have your catalog surfaced?
Yeah.
And there's been a debate on what are the categories within the catalog.
Yeah.
Hardware. Is it end user computing?
How do you do software?
How do you categorize your catalog?
Yeah.
Now that has created so much that can go on for months of discussion, right? And different people have different opinions and thoughts and theories. Yeah. And I've always come to the conclusion that keep it simple, go down maximum of three layers, perhaps two, if you can get away with it.
Yeah.
But also of the opinion that if I go to Amazon, I can't remember, or Argos or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I went, well, I want to buy a laptop. Let me go to the laptop category. You don't. You just type in what you want, right?
Yeah.
So categorization, whereas before it perhaps used to be for what's helpful for an end user, and I think we should still keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But that was part of the focus.
Yeah.
Now it's probably more of a maintenance and management aspect than it is user experience, right? That's just my view.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I think you could probably say the same thing to knowledge. You know, your first entry into knowledge is you're searching for something.
Yes.
If not, let's go down into this one and this one.
Where do you think it might be? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Obviously, it helps to maybe filter down, perhaps. It's like if you were to get lots of results from different, it could be multiple catalogs that you have in a portal, or it could be multiple categories, which make more sense to get better results. But then with Gen AI, where it can then detect your intent through your words and the verbiage that you're, I love that word, verbiage that you're using, then it should be able to find the answer. It should be fine. Yeah. It's exactly this one. And it's just interesting to me, just the accuracy is an interesting question with it at the moment. It's like, how valuable is it? We all know Gen AI is expensive, and what you don't want to get is this experience that, you know, shock. we don't want to get this experience where you're searching for something, then it's like, oh yeah, I can't find it. Or let's just redirect you towards the catalog search screen or something else, because I don't know what you're talking about. It needs to be useful. It needs to be accurate for organizations to jump on board and start using it. And that's where I'm just trying to find that at the moment. It's like, where are you going to get immediate value from it? And where is things that, okay, it's good for now, but you know it's going to be better in the future.
So are you looking at your capacity, in your capacity, in your role at the minute, are you looking at Gen AI in terms of what realistic aspects can customers consume, and what does that roadmap look like? Or are you getting customers that are coming to you saying, I want to, because this is quite common, right? AI is a nice fancy term that's been bandied around. I want to use it, and they don't really know.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Yeah, they just want
to.
So you're looking at it.
Yeah, you're looking at that from going, okay, we can use AI, but in this capacity, perhaps a run, what is it, a crawl, walk,
yeah, like
run, fly, whatever. I don't know.
So I'm looking at it from both perspectives, really. So I'm looking at it from a perspective of a customer that hasn't even thought about using it. Maybe they've heard of it or, you know, the different news things going on around it. But I think what's quite common right now is most organizations are using it in some aspect already. So they might be using it around Azure or something else. So they've been kind of tinkering with it elsewhere. So a lot of the conversations right now isn't just ServiceNow specific. It's about, okay, you're already using and invested in AI, using a different, you know, LLM or not necessarily ServiceNow's LLM. So how can we utilize that? It's like, it's not just a case of, you know, they've already invested in it. So why? What's the options around custom integrations?
Are you seeing customers that are standing up teams specifically to look at AI?
Yeah.
I haven't come across that yet, but I'm betting
it's
that's
starting
the case, right?
To go that way. I think a lot of it's kind of driven from like CIO level, and the kind of personas we've been talking to is platform owner and that sort of that sort of people who are just we've got a general interest. They don't necessarily have dedicated teams for it. It might be just an amalgamation of different teams.
You think that it has to go that way, though, right?
You think it
has to come from a strategic level.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've known for quite a few months, years, whatever.
Yeah.
That it's not going anywhere. So you need to embrace it.
Yeah.
And it's definitely going to be a strategic, at a strategic level and function level.
Yeah.
So we got hosting teams, right? You get network teams, you get service desks, you get request fulfillment teams. There has to be
an overarching
company AI teams, surely.
Exactly, like AI and automation, perhaps.
Yes.
Usually them sorts of things kind of fit in with certain like application teams or something. But this is I agree. I think this is definitely separate. They almost need to kind of look at it as a holistically.
Yes.
As an investment portfolio.
Good word.
Yeah.
Holistic, yeah.
So these are the interesting conversations going on at the moment. It's just understanding, because you have to see, you know, what's actually going on out there. You know, not just with ServiceNow. You're starting to then understand what other AI things are happening. So I know we were talking previously to like the likes of Scott Gamble about some other events that's going on.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like maybe we should start to go into them things. You know, what else is going on in the AI space that we can actually learn from and start to integrate?
Yeah, and then how that works from a kind of an organizational level with governance with security, because that's going to have a massive impact.
I think that's still a big thing. Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that you know what it's like, unless you're on, I don't know, a change management implementation program. You don't get to discuss much about change management.
In
our working lives, if you know what I mean. So AI for me, or Gen AI for me at the minute, is not something we're talking about in my daily work life. So it's interesting to have these conversations. And I like these because you just kind of set the world to rights, don't you, and have a bit of a debate.
But
it's good. What else have you been doing? What's coming up? Anything interesting?
Well, next week going to Disneyland Paris, that should be good. So on a personal level. So
have you please tell me you have. Have you got matching outfits for one day?
For the kids, yes.
Oh, you haven't got a t-shirt or anything.
No. Do you know what? We did that shop, right? So we went into a few different shops, Primark and like Asda,
yeah, of course,
and like that,
yeah,
where
yeah,
they got
yeah.
like the Disney sections, haven't they?
Yep.
And the question was asked, let's put it that way, about, oh, do you want a Mickey Mouse t-shirt or a hoodie or something? Mate. I'm like, no,
have you,
not I really.
I can't remember I can't remember what you said last time, but have you been before?
I haven't. This will be my first
time. So you are going to, there are families that will walk around with all the same clothes on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I had a matching t-shirt. It wasn't instigated by me, let's put it that way. I embraced it because it's the norm, right?
Yeah.
And you have to set aside yourself at least 300 quid to buy some Mickey Mouse ears.
I say they're fairly expensive, aren't they?
they are, but top tip.
We've almost pre-bought them.
I was just about to say, if you can buy them before you go, you're going to save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah. Right? That's what we've done anyway.
And quash the kids from going, oh, well, I want these. And literally stop that before it happens.
Yeah, I think I've seen that 55 to 60 euros. It's like,
we're not doing that. And you need to, I would say, allocate some money. Tell the kids before you go, you've got this to spend across the X days. When it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because on the main street, they've got shops.
You'll all go on food.
Well,
our budget would have been blown on food.
I'll give you a top tip in a sec. But the main street has got shops either side, left and right. It's the same in America. And you can walk through, there's loads of different shops, but you can walk through them all. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's a nightmare for any parent because you literally walk through and it's just a field of meltdowns.
Go through and do
kid crying bingo. They're crying on the floor because they're not allowed stuff. In terms of food, though, have you booked up places to eat?
We haven't booked up places. Still unsure what we're going to do, to be honest. I think we're just going to look and see, like go to the little snack huts as opposed to...
Yeah, so you'll be able to get snack stuff.
Yeah.
There's a Mackey D's. When you come out, there's a McDonald's, which is horrifically busy.
I could imagine.
But they do, when I went, they did like a triple cheeseburger. Oh, it was delightful.
Yeah.
It was so nice. But there's also a, there's like a rodeo one just outside. You can book to go in and watch like a rodeo going on while you're eating. Never did it, but you can do that. But yeah, if you're going to do something, if you want to eat out in the evening, book it now. Otherwise, there'll be no spaces at all.
There'll be nothing.
Yeah, there'll be nothing. I think we went out a few times actually.
We were thinking of like filling our boots at breakfast and, you know, just bringing snacks in.
Have you got the package where you've got like a free breakfasty type room where you can grab stuff?
Yeah.
They're fill up on pastries, take the pastries with you.
Yeah.
And then that'll at least cover you through till lunchtime. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Then that's just the main dinner, which, yeah.
But yeah, good stuff. You'll really like it though, man. You'll really like it. It'll be interesting for you.
Yes. So, should be good.
So I haven't really necessarily got anything planned. Well, I have today.
Oh.
But I thought, so I've been doing, I don't know why, when the kids are getting ready for bed and bath or whatever, I randomly, and I don't know where this has come from, is playing the games of Would You Rather. Right, so things like, and it's really interesting to hear their answers and how kids give different answers, and it gives you an insight into kind of some of their aspirations and how their brain works. So it's things like, would you rather be, I don't know, things like beautiful and stupid or clever and ugly, right? The one kid that you think can answer a certain way doesn't.
Really? Have you thought about that?
So there's loads of random questions and silly ones as well.
Yeah.
You know, would you rather live 100 years in the past or 100 years in the future?
Yeah.
Those kind of things. What was mine? Would you rather you have always use for the rest of your life shrimp flavored toothpaste or cheese or cheese smelling deodorant?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so, anyway, with the help of our friend ChatGPT, I've got some would you rather for service now.
Okay. This is going to be interesting.
These aren't going to be great. Right? Let's just see what I'm going to pick some out and see what I'm right.
Okay. Go for it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Right. Hang on.
Think of your answer from home as well. What are you watching this or?
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I've got to pick some good ones. Right. Okay. Would you rather implement ServiceNow's virtual agent for automated self-service support or invest more in human support resources for personalized assistance?
Okay. All right, so human versus bot, basically. Yes.
Surely that's an easy one.
That's an easy one. You'd 100% go with robots. You'd go. You'd want to. This is really topical because I think a lot when you talk about value of ServiceNow is in automation and the ability for you not necessarily to have humans there at the end of a phone or at the end of a self-service request. So in my mind, 100% with virtual agent and being able to automate that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Plus, I think that's the way people want to interact with us these days.
I think I'd agree. Here's an interesting follow-on question, right?
Good question, though. I like that.
And I can tell you a bit of a story about this. But if you were to ask your kids, or let's go with that for now, what a robot is, what do you think they'd say?
Good question. They'd probably refer to like a toy or something.
Yeah.
And just kind of just, so, you know, yeah.
So interesting story. So one of mine, we were coming back from a club that they do. They do lots of clubs. And it was dark at night and he kept looking behind him all the time. And I was like, what's the matter? And he's like, oh, nothing. He just wouldn't tell me. Right. And then in the evening, struggled to sleep, woke up crying a few times and was a bit scared. Anyway, transpires that one of his friends had seen something on YouTube about a robot. it was an animation, a robot not being nice to a human, right? And told him about this.
Right.
So my son had this impression that there were robots out running round, right, looking to harm humans.
Oh, no.
And I kind of had to have that conversation with him. He was ever so upset. But yeah. I had to kind of explain that robots aren't necessarily physical things, right? They're not, when people say robots, it's not, so your mate that may have seen it, it wasn't necessarily, it could have been a bit of software. It could have been a bit of hardware. It's a term, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting because you don't really think about it. And I spoke to my mother about this as well. I said, what do you think a robot is? And she was like, well, actually, now I think about it, on like websites, you got, I am not a robot. And you do all that capture thing. And inevitably we all fail because clearly we are robots because we can never pick the traffic light, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So yeah, it's,
that's really interesting that actually. Yeah.
So ask them. Do they know what a robot is? Right. Okay. Let me pick another one. Ooh, would you rather invest in predictive intelligent capabilities for proactive? I'm not even going to read that. That's a stupid question. But would you rather have unlimited custom capabilities in ServiceNow, but no out-of-the-box functionalities, so nothing, it's all custom.
Oh, right, okay, just purely custom, okay.
Or, can you hear my cat snoring?
No.
Right, or rope, Jesus, that's loud. Or robust out-of-the-box functionalities with limited customization. So we're going for, would you rather have a platform that's all customized or a platform with nothing customized?
I mean, this, the inner kind of like developer in me says I love building stuff and I'd love the unlimited capabilities. If licensing was out the question as well, presumably as well, you know, with like App Engine licenses and whatever else, we're saying you have access to everything, it's really easy to build stuff. You can start building your own capabilities. Essentially how ServiceNow was marketed years ago. You know, it's so customizable, you can build what you want.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that's not the right way to go. But obviously the answer is not that. The answer is to be able to utilize what ServiceNow has built and the ongoing updates that it brings.
Yeah.
Because right, you're learning from just your own perspective. They're learning from hundreds of customers or thousands of customers who have all kind of fed back. And, you know, there's a community feeding back into this improvement of ServiceNow. So why not rely on them and yourselves to maintain custom apps?
Yeah. I think this is the sensible answer. And then there's the fun answer.
I'd love to be able to, you know.
Fun to do. That
should absolutely be an offering, though. It's like, here is a blank slate. Here's just a platform.
You think?
You develop what you want. Maybe. That could be like a completely separate Malfrey.
Watch this space. Right.
It kind of is App Engine Studio, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think we've got time for one more.
These are good questions. I'm enjoying these.
Let me pick it. There's 10 of them. I'm just looking at a good one. No. Ooh. No, that's a bad one. Here we go.
This is a juicy one.
You ready?
Yeah,
Would you rather prioritize ServiceNow platform upgrades for enhanced security or prioritize them for new functionalities and user experience?
Maybe it depends what kind of organization you are. If you're one that's heavily guarded by regulation and compliance, then you'd have to go security. But I'm all about the new functionality, baby.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you'd say new functionality, it's more fun, right? It's more fun. Users will appreciate it more.
Comes out your mouth. If there's a customer that says, that's come to you and says, well, why should we go to Washington?
Yeah.
My first thing that comes to my mind is not security.
That's true.
At this new stuff that you could do. Look at that, how much this could benefit you. Surely you'd get more value from upgrading for features rather than...
I guess it's a sales pitch, isn't it? It's like, why should we upgrade? Oh, look at all this new stuff you can get. Or improvements to what you've already got that makes the user experience better. There's always that focus. You're right. I'm just thinking, I can't remember a time where I've said... I guess if it's on your like tech debt radar, or if it's a requirement that I don't know, we need more security hardening, and this new upgrade gives us that, then fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a little segment, isn't there, in like the release where it's like, oh yeah, and here's our additional security stuff that we put in. So it's there, but it's like, great.
So what you're saying? Would you rather security or new funky features?
I'm saying funky features.
I think I'll go with that because it's more fun.
These are great questions.
Yeah, well, there's some more, but I think in the interest of time to give people some time back in their lives, I think we'll park it there. We might do this again, though.
I'll see what else we can come up with. Get your answers in. Definitely. If you disagree with us, let us know as well. I think the really interesting one for me was the first question around humans versus bots. You know, there'll be some people out there, and you know it, who will say about this kind of more human-centric service desks and things like that, it's better to just talk to people.
Yeah, maybe.
Are there some people out there still thinking like that?
See what we should do. Next time we have a guest, we'll replace James's stupid, idiotic question to...
Pointless question.
Pointless. To one of these, would you have a find a good would you rather? Let's do that.
Yes,
let's
put a poll out as well afterwards. Yeah,
I will tell anyone that's listening, remind me of that because my memory is awful and I'll forget all about it. Until next time, I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah.
I think so. We haven't done this for a while, have we?
I know, rusty,
but I think until our next unscheduled podcast, it remains me to say, I've been Russ
and I've been James,
and this is Service Ducks.